I've entitled it Only One Way, and Most Are Missing It. Reading from the book of Romans, just two verses, just listen, you don't have to turn to it. Romans 14, verses 17 and 18. Listen very carefully to this message, don't let your minds wander. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace, a deep settled peace, righteousness, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace. No struggle, just peace. And joy in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Not just by the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost. Now, that is what God intended His kingdom to be. That's what He intended us to have. He intended us to have walk in righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. But that isn't what we're doing. But it's what He intends. Meaning, it is possible. Meaning more than that, it's required. It's the form that He wants. It's what He wants us to have. It's how He wants us to live. It's the potential. It's available. Now I want to ask a number of questions. Why do born-again Christians, just born-again and filled with the joy of being born-again and witnessing to everybody, why do they lose the joy and the excitement of the born-again experience? You know many do. Why do spirit-filled believers, filled with the power of God and the joy of it, lose the thrill of loving Jesus and praying in tongues, worshiping Him? Why are they without the power promised? God promised power when the Holy Ghost comes upon His people. Why are they? Now, they're not totally without the power. Of course not. But I submit we are without the full power that He promised and wants us to have. Do you agree with that? For the most part, we're living, people or spirit-filled are living beneath the power promised. Why do Christians drift into discouragement and sin? You know the average Christian drifts into discouragement and sin. Why are Christians sinning? God didn't want it that way. Where is the power of Christ and the gospel in their life? You know that as you search abroad through charismatic churches, just take those type, and fundamental churches, let alone forget the liberals, you don't really see the power of Christ in the gospels like we should. We do see it, but not to the extent we should. Why are Christians so carnal? And you know they are. And so weak, and so easily duped, and discouraged. These are good answer questions, aren't they? Now, the reason that God gave me, as He started feeding my mind, I said, if you get these questions answered, you've got a good answer, huh? Because it happens to all men, it befalls all Christians. So we needed the answer. God gave me, He fed my mind. This is what He told me. Because we try to use God for our lives so we can walk spiritually and become spiritual. That's why we get in the shape we are. Because we try to use Him to make us more spiritual and so we can walk spiritually and become spiritual. And that is not what God wants at all. Now, some of you are wondering, what's wrong with that? That's the problem. That's the problem. The fact that we don't even know what's wrong with it is the problem. That is out of harmony with God's Word. And that is out of harmony with God's plan. And that is out of harmony with God's makeup. So it will not work. That's why we're where we are. The problem is it won't work. Now, I better tell you the why, or some of you are still wondering what's wrong with that. When you get the answer, you'll see it. God will wait, no matter how long it takes us. He will wait until we prove to ourselves that our method will not work. Only what God has ordained will work. Now, you see, the problem is that we are trying to use God so that we become spiritual and walk spiritually. God's never ordained that you use Him. He's not so many gallons to use at your disposal. Now, you might say, but I'm trying to live by God's will and God's word, and it's not working. I'm trying to follow the book, and it's not working. Yes, but we are ignorantly twisting God's word. We are trying to follow it, but we're not. We're twisting it. Therefore, we lack the joy and the life and the power and the love and the strength of God. In effect, we say this, I want my will at any cost to me. We come, we don't use those words, but in effect, that's what we're saying. We say, Lord, all right, Lord, all right, I am willing, okay, here I am finally. Do anything to me. I finally come to that place, I let the barriers down. Strip me, humble me, do anything you want, but accomplish thus and thus and thus. I'll give you the prescription, fill it. If it kills me, fulfill my prescription. Instead of saying, I want your will at any cost to me. We're trying to use the Holy Ghost given to us. Instead of yielding to the Holy Ghost so He can use us. Now there's the difference. We are manipulators. Like, you see, the very sin that we have before God in ignorance is the very thing that's in all stations of our life. You go into the home, the average wife is a manipulator of her husband. Through all kinds of ways, she tries to manipulate her husband, either through a very manifest way or a covert way. She tries to manipulate. The children try to manipulate the dads and moms. How often do you see your children come and say, all right, what would you like me to do today? How can I please you today? Hey, Daddy, I want this. Give me this. I want that. Make her stop doing this. Well, give me this. They try to manipulate us for their will. We got the money. We got the intelligence. We got the power. They lack it. They come to us, manipulate, manipulate, manipulate. Satisfy our little baby carnal will. And we'll tell you when we want cornflakes, when we want cookies, when we want to play, when we want a fire truck, when we want this, what we want, and you just let us manipulate you. And so, monkey see, monkey do. We grow up that way, manipulate our parents, and then if we're a wife, we try to manipulate our husband, and then if we're Satan, we try to manipulate God. That's all we've known. We haven't given over to Him to let Him use us. Instead of learning God's will, which requires us to get into the Spirit, get in tune with God, take some doing, take some dying out, take some waiting before God, learning. It takes learning. You know, learning can be a hard experience. Learning isn't easy. It isn't easy to watch a child when he has to learn to walk. You know, I mean, walking is okay if nothing else to do, but if you're in a hurry, you crawl, you know. That walking, you're up there teetering, you know, you're up tall and you do like this, you know, I mean, that's kind of precarious. Well, you get down there, you know what you're doing, you know where you're going, you can make tracks, you know. And it's not easy to learn to tie your shoes and, you know, and do other types of things. And it's easy to let somebody else do it for you. And, you know, a kid will always take his shoes, he'll take his shoes out until he's, you know, and he'd like to have you tie his shoe forever if he would. You finally have to teach, he needs to do it. Now, too, they'd like to begin doing grown-up things, but in a certain manner, you know what I'm saying. They'll let you, if you let them, you have to begin forcing them to begin to do some things, but they were trying to manipulate. And now, instead of letting God's will, which we can't get immediately, we can't know everything immediately, that's kind of hard. We're looking for a shortcut. We try our carnal shortcut. By carnal, I don't mean wicked. I don't mean sexual. I mean natural man, void of the Spirit of God. We try our natural, intellectual man shortcuts. We try to beg God to do our will. Now, His way, of course, that He be glorified. We always try to get God to do our will His way. He didn't have a will His will is not our way. He can't do our will His way. He didn't have any way of doing our will His way. Because our will isn't in His way. There's a way that seems right to man, but it's not the way of God. It's not the way of the Spirit. The way of the natural man is not the way of the Spirit. God can't do the natural man thing His way. He's not in the natural man business. He's in the spiritual man business. God is not glorified in doing our will for us. He is glorified in doing His will for us. He was glorified when Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He was glorified in Christ when Christ did the will of His Father. Not glorified by doing whatever man wants. Neither is our will His ways. Now prayer, if I can use this little bit of a crude analogy, it's something like sticking a straw into God. In order to get anything with a straw, you've got to suck. You can't just stick it there. You can't just have prayer. You can't just read a prayer book. You can stick a straw into God with prayer, but you've got to suck. That is, you've got to draw it. You've got to draw from the object that you want. Now, if we stick our straw into orange juice, and draw it, what do we get? Yeah, that's not too hard. Orange juice. Now, if we stick it into vinegar and draw, we get puckered lips. Plus vinegar. Now, if we stick our straw into the world, we get the world. And if we stick it into self, we get selfish. And if we stick it into God, we get godliness. Provided we draw from that source. That's why you can be in the world and not of it and not draw from it. You can be in the world and not draw from it. But if you're drawing from it, you are getting worldly. You can stick your straw into God and not get godly. You can pray and not get godly. Or you can draw from God strength. Now, where is our straw most of the time? That's the question you have to answer for yourself. Where is your straw? How often is it in the world? How often is it in self? How often is it in God? Total it up. Analyze it. No wonder, huh? Now you see why your answer is like it is. You see, we can only draw what's there. Is that too basic? Is it too deep? You can only draw what's there. But we can't draw from God if we blow from us through the straw to God, like a little kid bubbling his milk through a straw. If you blow through the straw, you don't get any milk. You just bubble, bubble, bubble. You got to draw from it. And you're not going to get anything but milk if you draw. Don't expect something different. But when you put yourself into it, and you try to exert yourself through it, you're not going to get anything out of it. What I'm trying to say is we cannot interpose ourselves through the straw, spiritually speaking. We cannot interpose ourselves into the straw. Let me give you this analogy. Now, in the natural, this doesn't really fit. But it has an element that I know you'll understand. So in the spiritual realm, it fits. If you allow me to use the analogies. Most Christians are spiritual lemonade drinkers. The world is a lemon. Do you agree with that? And you know how lemons taste? Now, lemons are too tart for us now that we're born again. In the world, we loved them. But now we're born again, they're too tart. So you know what we do? We sugarcoat them. And when you sugar the lemon, you mix it with water, water it down, and sugarcoat it, you love it. Now, in the natural, I love lemonade. But we're all in the natural too much. And in the natural, see, we are spiritually lemonade drinkers. We water down the world and sugarcoat it, and then we partake of it. Now, we develop a taste for a mix of sweet and sour. In the natural, I like sweet and sour sauce. But that's our problem. Our natural man likes spiritual sweet and sour. And so we mix the sweet and the sour. That's why some people are watching certain movies and TV. To get the sweetness of the romance and the adventure, they take the sour of the filth that's in it. And the world develops an appetite for sweet and sour. We can develop an appetite for that. And for the sweet and the tart. Now, most people, when they take grapefruit, they require sugar on it. But some people get to eat grapefruit without sugar. In fact, some, and I'm not going to mention any names, Little Wendy is one of them, my granddaughter, they get to take lemons with nothing on them. Straight. With milk, even. It curdles the stomach, but they don't know any better. And that's what's happening. We're taking the lemon of the world with the milk of the world, and it's curdling in our stomach, and we don't know, we don't care. We just keep right on doing it, we like it. Now, God works spiritually through the Spirit. Spiritually, when He's working spiritually, He works through our spirit. A carnal man works through his intellect. He's always working through his intellect. With his traded knowledge of good and evil, instead of God's will revealed by the Spirit, to the Spirit. Now that he's traded that in Eden for the knowledge of good and evil, he works through the intellect using that knowledge rather than by divine revelation of the Spirit. Now God has given us his Spirit. And God has given us a newborn Spirit to contain that Spirit and interpret that Spirit, that we might have access to God. Man lost access to God in Eden. We lost that spiritual revelation. And he took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He decided to go by his conscience instead, which is the knowledge of good and evil. But now, God has taken the old Adamic man that we are, and has given us a newborn spirit that has a union with God's Spirit, and has given us His Spirit, that we might again have access to God, to His mind, like they had in Eden before the fall, and have His revelation, have Him tell us what to do, like the last Adam did, the pattern son Jesus. He had access, and he spoke only that which his Father gave him. Now, why did God arrange the new begotten Spirit that we might have access to God? So we can use God? No. He did not give us this newborn spirit to use God to make us more spiritual. He gave it so that God can use us to make us more spiritual. Make us more like Him. See, we can't use God to become like God. God's got to use us to become like God. Let me give you a good analogy for this. The good analogy is a child cannot use you to make Him more like you. You have got to use Him to make Him more like you. Because only you know you. And only you know how to get there. He doesn't know how to get above himself. He can't pull himself up by his own bootstraps to be like you. He doesn't have your knowledge and understanding. How can He use you to make Himself like you? He can't get like you. But you, if he'll cooperate, can use him to get himself like you. Because you can feed him what he needs to know. And if he'll yield, he'll grow like you. That's our problem. We are trying to get like God by using him. Instead of letting God use us. With his knowledge to get us like him. Do you see the difference? This is what came into my mind at 5 a.m. This is what God put it out to tell you. So you need to understand the message and take steps to implement it. God wants us to have access to God's will that we might walk in his will. That God may use us. Now Christianity and Christians are getting full of deadness. They're getting dead. Full of spiritual deadness. They get born again, come out of darkness into light, and then they start headed for the wick starts getting black, the light starts to flicker, and they're headed for darkness again. They start going towards deadness. Because of this, because they don't know how, they have not yielded, have not totally surrendered, they have not come to the very first thing that Christ taught. To deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him or you cannot be his disciple. Death to self and total surrender. We try to keep ourselves well and live the Christian life and we're headed downhill. Now we're getting spiritual food and spiritual encouragement and angelic forces and all the rest, so we are climbing. But there's a constant, headed downhill. Well, I should say it this way. We're headed downhill, but there's a constant trying to do this to keep us up. But our ignorance is pushing us downhill. We're not receiving what we should be receiving. Now, it may take some time to really understand how to implement this, but you can't implement something you don't even know you should implement. So the first thing is get the knowledge, and then try to begin working with it to begin. Now, it's not going to be easy to implement. There's nothing in this book, the first of Genesis, didn't say, now this will be easy. Did you find that in your Bible? You first open up and it says, now this will be easy. There's nothing easy between here and heaven. In fact, it tells you, this is going to be hard for the natural man. It will kill him. And the reason that Christians are dying, getting dry, is they're not drawing from God. They're not drawing from God. They're dealing in the intellectual. They're trying to work out their own ministry, trying to work out God's ministry, trying to do God's plan for him. They're trying to they'll run here all the way to China. They'll have airlifts. They'll do everything possible. They'll struggle. They'll do everything to do God's work for them. But you can't do it. Only his spirit can do his work. Only he can do his work in you. We're trying to use God, and God won't work that way. God will not be used. He will use, but he will not be used. Now, we get confused on this issue because we see some results when we try to use God. We do see some result. And the reason is because some of our desire is God's desire, too, to build us up and help us. So we play our will, and it happens to be God's will, too. So we get some results. See, it's like this. We say, God, forgive me. God says, well, that's my will. It's exactly what I want for you. So I'll do that. Then we say, Lord, help me. He says, well, that's my will too. So I'm going to, with my power, help you. So I'll do that. And we are trying to use God, and it seems to be working. And then we say, Lord, help me by doing this and this and this. Which is our will. And the heavens are brass. Nothing happens. And we wonder, why is it that this is an on-again, off-again thing? Sometimes we seem to be able to use God, and sometimes we can't. It seems like that he's not consistent. You know. We have trouble getting him to heal sometimes. Sometimes he's deaf, and other times he runs right there and heals us. And we're kind of confused, because sometimes it seems to be working. Because sometimes we're asking in his will, and other times we're asking out of his will. And we're trying to tell him how to do it. But even when we're asking in his will, we get it backwards. We're trying to use him according to his will instead of having him use us according to his will. Not all the time, but a big portion of the time. So we've left the do your will in me your way to do my will in me your way. And he says, no way. Or if we don't say that, we say, all right, Lord, do your will in me. Of course, do it my way. Have your will, Lord. Now, what I want is this and this and this. Just have your will, Lord. And then he won't do what you ask. And what happened to my prayer? I prayed and he didn't do it. You asked him to have his will. He said, Lord, I want you to have your way. I want you to do this and this and this. And it never happened. So how come he didn't answer? He did. He said, have your will. He gave him two opposite things and he took his choice. And we say, Lord, bless my lemonade mixture. Amen. And he didn't want to bless it. He didn't want to bless the lemon mixed with the watered down and mixed with sugar. Now, God has ordained to use men and to use angels and to use his word and to use prayer as straws or as bridges to impart himself through. That's how God comes down to you, through his word, through men, through angels, through prayer. And the reason that God is using men and angels and his word and prayer is because man is not walking in the Spirit. Because if he didn't use those things, he'd never get through to us. Because we're not where he is. There's a spiritual realm and he's in it, but we're not. So he has to move out of the spiritual realm and come down and use men, and he has to use angels, and he has to use his word, and he has to use other things through prayer and so forth, because we're not in the spirit. Back in Eden, he didn't use any other device. His spirit came down and dwelt with man. See, man is not where unfallen Adam was. He's nasty where fallen Adam is, out of the spirit. So God's using prophet and priest and temple and everything else to try to get down to it. But now, man in the new birth has the provision of being in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. But seldom are we in the Spirit. The provision is there, but let's face it, seldom are we in the Spirit. Now, suppose we put a big screen up here and said, put your names down, and then ask the Lord to put over next to it the total number of hours per week that you're in the Spirit. Some of you would run up and put your hand across the space though. You know, you really wouldn't want you'd say, Lord, would you show me that alone, please, at night, you know. You really wouldn't want everybody to see how many hours you're in the Spirit. Now, I've just said that, you know, to say, you know, we're not in that realm enough, so he has to use other devices. He's still working. Like in the old covenant, he had to come down and work through these devices because man wasn't where he was. But when we are in the Spirit, he can speak directly to us. When we're in the Spirit, he can feed our minds. He can show us. He can teach us. He can reveal. He can give visions. He can give power. He can tell you what to do. He can give gifts. He can tell you how to operate things. We need to be walking in the Spirit. Which means, you know, people in the Spirit are not using God. God's using them. You see, anybody in the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit, and the Spirit's doing all the deciding, and he's doing the following. The Spirit moved me. The Spirit moved me. Little accidental demonstration here. The Spirit moved me to say this. The Spirit came upon me and I prophesied. The Spirit came upon me and I had a vision. It isn't, I decided to have a vision and I decided to prophesy and I decided to see. In the Spirit, you never initiate. You're just in his presence, and he is giving, and you're just following it. Totally opposite of the way we try to operate in ourselves. Besides, we now have a knowledge of good and evil to appeal to, and that's present with us, regardless of anything else, and God is appealing to it. We asked for it, we got the trade, and now he's appealing to it. He's using it. He didn't ask us to throw our conscience away. This was not supposed to be a substitute for revelation. Now, but spiritual things can be imparted by God only through the spirit of man. Now, God can give information to the brain. He can transmit data when you're unsaved. He can talk to unsaved people. But he only can deal with you to impart spiritual things to you through the Spirit. He works through the Spirit. Now, intellectualism is sterile. You plant anything in it, spiritual, and it won't grow. Spiritually, it's sterile. You only can plant intellectual things in it, have them grow. Spiritual things will not grow in intellectual soil. It's sterile. It will not produce spiritual fruit. The carnal man, the natural man, is spiritually sterile. That's why you have to have a newborn spirit. And then you have to have rapport with God. Truth has to come into it. Might come through man or an angel or the word or through prayer, but it has to come through your newborn spirit. It has to come into you through his spirit. The natural man is hard pan to God's word and spirit. It's just hard pan. This is why one man gets up here and it's sharing time, body ministry, and he just says, you know, after 20 minutes and the bench is loaded, and he just says, oh, I just got four more scriptures to give. I know it's long, I'm getting nervous, I got four more of these, oh, these are wonderful one over here in Psalms. Oh, I just gotta read that one to you. I just got a few more here to go. And he knows he's taking too much time, but he just gotta get out of the scripture. This is a terrific one over here in Psalms. I got three more. And down in the pews, typically, people wonder why he's still so excited about. I don't know why he's so excited. I mean, what's so wonderful about those scriptures? I mean, you know, and he reads it and it wasn't all that great. Okay, one more, he just gotta read this one. And you don't know why he's gotta read that one. I mean, what's he sort of so excited about? I don't see anything so wonderful about what he's reading. The thing is, he's anointed. It's flowing into him. It's spiritually, it's exciting him. So he'll stick to it all day and read them as long as he's got them. And down there, you know, it's not getting through. This is why one person gets so bored, and the other person in the same meeting and listens to the same sermon comes out and says, I could listen to you all night. I've had many of them come in and say, I can just listen all night. Oh, don't ever quit. I can just listen all night. I can't spend another 10 more minutes of this. The difference is that one is anointed. One is spiritually impacted. One is open spiritually. He's feeding on the word. It's applicable to his life. He's learning things, truths for him. The other one doesn't plan on doing a thing with what he's getting. And therefore, why listen? I mean, why listen to somebody, why listen to a 9-hour lecture on how to put a submarine engine together when you never plan on doing it? But if you have the task of doing it tomorrow, you will listen gladly today to all 9 hours. And you see, that's the thing with people, what's happening. If you're open and you're going to do something with it, you want to know about it. You'll come to the seminar, you want to know, you've got to know. But, anyway, you know, well, what did you get for that? What did you notice? I missed that part. Well, what are you all excited about? And won't even bother going. Not going to do anything with it. Not going to get delivered. Not going to get anybody else delivered. You're not going to do anything with it. It depends on whether you're open. Depends on whether you're sucking through your straw or just bubbling through it or doing nothing. This is why some messages are changing lives, but not changing other people's lives. Because some people are open to it, they're drawing in from it and receiving it. And it's changing their lives. They're coming to me, telling me this has changed my life, Pastor. That message changed my life. Didn't change his life. I've seen anything life-changing about it. Some have come to me and said, for years I wasn't getting anything from your messages. The messages were good, but I just wasn't open. I wasn't receiving. I had a plug in my straw. But now I'm sucking. Now I'm getting so much. I've had people say, since I've been delivered, your messages have been so good. My message has changed since they got delivered. The only thing is, people are getting delivered at different times. The messages are changing at different times to different people. All of a sudden, it's becoming relevant to them. This word is going to become excitable to us when we get to where we should be. That's why I keep saying people getting delivered, they can't lay the word down. It's a brand new book. Never saw this book before. What book is this? B-I-B-L-E. You ever read a paragraph? You ever had to go through seminars and read a lot of dry stuff by the hour? And you read that paragraph and say, oh boy, what did I see? You have no idea what you read. Just finished reading, you don't even know what you read. And you had to go back and read it again. That's just me, read the Bible. See? Even go to Bible school that way. They don't know what they read. They're just reading it. Instead of feeding on it. But the person who's serious, and he's got to learn how to do operations, and he's got to learn how to do these things, he is studying the thing, he's getting it. And he's excited about it, telling everybody else about it. Now, still Christianity makes us easy prey for the devil. You become easily discouraged, you become easily persuaded. Without God's flow, and God's anointing, and God's revelation, and God's life, and God's power, we become easily discouraged. Because the flesh is no match for the devil.
Right.
And if you don't have an inflow from God, you will get discouraged. Because the devil will come to you, and you will not be able to overcome him. And you'll get discouraged, because you'll try and fail, and try and fail. Set goals and not meet them, until you become so discouraged, you wonder why go on. The intellect is no match for the devil. And he'll outfox you every time. Flesh begats flesh. And it will not satisfy the spiritual man inside. All your intellectualism, it will excite the brain, but it will not excite the spirit. All the study, all the things you do, all the things you learn will not excite the spirit. You'll dry up spiritually, arguing, debating, and beginning to be expert on certain Bible truths. You can fall in love with the book instead of the author. Flesh leads to flesh, and it will not defeat Satan in spiritual warfare. All the study, works, good ideas, things you come up with will not defeat it. All the notes you got, all the things you've got. You know, I cut a class on the Song of Solomon, becoming the bride of Christ. It won't do a thing for you unless you put it into operation. I was thinking about this the other day. I gave a marriage seminar. Gave some terrific keys. They unlock those hard locks. They won't unlock a thing unless you stick them in and turn them. And I know a lot of people are going to dangle these in their belt and just let a lot of people watch them jingle, jingle, jingle. I attended the seminar, jingle, jingle, jingle. And they'll never stick them in a lock. They'll never stick them in the hard lock of the marriage and try to turn them. They'll just walk around. Some people collect keys from seminars. They are so loaded with keys they can hardly walk. They never use them. But they're always open for another seminar. Another counselor, anything but using them. Nothing will do you any good unless you use it. Visions won't do you any good. Revelations won't do you any good. Word of God won't do you any good. Nothing will do you any good unless you use it. Now, we do have legal weapons. But without the spiritual feedback from God, we're easily bluffed. We've got legal weapons used against the devil. In our state that we're in. But we're easily bluffed without the input from heaven. Without angels fortifying our minds. Without God's spirit energizing our spirits. Without feeling God's presence. Because we're walking in the spirit. Doubting spirits can cast doubt into our minds. And fearful spirits can cast fear into our minds. And lying spirits can cast lies into our minds. And soon we're doubting and fearing, and believing lies. And so a legal sword, which is a very powerful sword, a legal sword is a great, big, huge, burly, powerful sword that really works. It really does. A legal sword really works. But it's thrown to the ground by us as being inadequate. The devil overpowers us, and it's just thrown right to the ground. We turn and run instead. It is adequate, but it must be wielded by one energized by God with faith and truth. Because you have that thing, and he'll make you, here I come. He gets you so scared that you're afraid to use it. You're afraid it won't work, and you'll throw it down and run. You trust your legs instead. Because you're afraid. You see, it's adequate, but if you don't feel adequate, if you got fear and doubt, you can't do a good job with a good weapon. We have got to quit trying to use God to keep us out of war with the devil. Now that is what most Christians try to do. Use God to keep out of war with the devil. You can't keep out of war with him. It's the same thing you hear all the time, the big pacifist movement, always going on, all the time. Always marching around and laying down and saying, abandon the nuke bomb. We don't want nuclear destruction. We have all of our babies with us. We don't want them all blown up. I see. Good message. Go tell the Kremlin. You're telling the wrong people. It's only good to tell us. Go tell them. They're the ones who are fighting. I can't believe such abysmal ignorance. You got somebody up here with a Marxist-Lenin philosophy. We are going to take the world by force and covert action. So then you're coming and telling somebody who's got enough weaponry to stop them, lay down your arms, get rid of all of it. Then we'll have peace for everybody. You mean they'll have a peace for everybody there? When you strip yourself of all arms, then you're like a little kid waving a red flag in front of a bull. If you don't want to be attacked, go tell the bull. In the meantime, we gotta keep our wits about us. You better keep your peccadores and all the rest, better keep their swords and the little spears and whatever else they have, they better keep them until the bull knows the thing that he's not supposed to fight. We're at war with the devil, and he's not going to stop. So we should not be trying to use God to keep from warring with the devil. We should instead allow God to use us to defeat the devil in warfare. He's planned to have a warfare. It's to chase us into the arms of the Father and defeat the devil that way. He wants to defeat the devil, not by God zapping him. He could have done that a long time ago. He wanted to defeat the devil by having us leave the devil and choose him. And then defeat him with truth. Leave the devil standing on a corner all by himself and nobody listening to him. That's the way he wants to defeat him. He could have put him in the lake of fire years ago. God's got power. He ordained a spiritual warfare, and we ought to allow God to use us to defeat the devil. But we're all trying to keep out of the war. And that's the problem. No wonder he's taken over. You know, the communism has taken better than half of the globe. And a lot of it has been through covert action by people who didn't even know he was there. They didn't even know he's working inside. That's what demons have been doing. Now communism works overtly and covertly. And the devil works overtly and covertly. There are some people who don't believe in communism as a threat. And some people don't believe the devil's a threat. Demons are a threat. And that's why they're being taken. We must learn to move into the Spirit by deciding to, one, come to the cross, deny yourself, surrender yourself, become love slaves. Love slaves. I'm stressing love slaves because he doesn't want us to come trying to, you know, just deny myself, you know, hate myself, deny myself, do nothing. I'm not worth anything. I won't be nothing. I'll just do what he wants me to do, no matter what it is. I'll eat anger worms if he wants. See? Go ahead and kill me. I don't care. That isn't what he wants. He wants love slaves from those who believe in him and want to serve him out of love.
He wants a self-denial to be a love action, not a fear action or you got me trapped action attitude. Number two, we must learn to move into the Spirit by deciding to have faith in God. Now that means really have faith in God. That means every time we do something, we're saying, all right, now Lord, I'm believing you for this. I'm accepting it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to operate and believe you to bring this to pass. As long as I know your will, I'm moving in this area. I'm going to believe you for your word. I'm going to trust you to take care of my life. If I'm a wife, I say, I'm going to submit to my husband. I'm not going to worry what he's going to do to me. I'm going to obey your word. If it's your word, I'm not going to ask how it's going to be done, what he might do to me. Would he hurt me? Would he abuse me? What is he going to do? I am going to obey your word. I'm going to obey the pastor. Well, how do I know he might get off? What are you playing with? I'm going to obey. I'm going to follow. I am going to do what you asked me to do. If I am a man and father, I'm going to say, I am going to bring my children up. I'm going to take my responsibility. I'm going to know what my children are doing in school. I'm going to know what the grades are getting. I'm going to take time to play with my little Jimmy and show him my love. I'm going to take time to make my wife feel loved. I'm going to take time to make my wife feel secure. I'm going to be a father. I'm going to operate spiritually. I'm going to come to prayer meetings. I'm not going to stay home and say the community chapel is for old women, grandmas, and little babies. It's for the man, and I'm going to rise up and do my job. No matter what it is, you decide to trust God and obey. And number three, to seek God's wisdom and God's will, which means we wait upon Him until we know. And that isn't easy and fast. It doesn't come fast. But it comes through waiting upon God. Much prayer, and after a while, you begin to sense His Spirit. You begin to know He's there. You begin to know how to receive. You begin to know that God is there. You be praying. You exercise body ministry in this. You don't just go alone. Go alone sometimes, if you wish, but go together. And as you continue to gather, God will begin taking the scales off your eyes. You begin cutting away the ropes that bind you. He begin to turn your head upward. It's a process. And He'll reveal Himself to you more and more, and you'll be finding yourself set free. You may be bound for a while, but He'll build something. You just keep right on and see what He'll do. And even though others are receiving and you don't receive a thing, you keep right on. We have some good testimonies here of other people receiving while Brand X did not receive. But he continued until one day God did marvelous things for him. See, God may test you to see whether you really mean business or not. Now, I'll try to close here shortly. Man has fallen into allowing his own will and his own mind to be interpreted as God's will. This is very common in Christianity. We have allowed our own will and our own mind to be interpreted as God's will. Because it's so much quicker. And because it's so much easier for the mind, we can handle our own will and our own mind. We can handle that quickly and easily. We want quick action. We're impatient. Like the man who prayed, I want patience and I want it now. And others are like the man that says, well, Lord, I have to admit, my problem is apathy, but I don't really care if I ever get rid of it. You know? See, because it's much more palatable for the carnal, selfish man, we have allowed ourselves to be trapped by feeling like whatever we think is God. Whatever we want is God's will. We've been too fast to take all thinking, and therefore we don't need a lot of prayer. Because our brain is spinning a mile a minute. And we can feed that thing so quickly with God's will and pop up and ready to go. We need to wait upon God until we know God's direction. What God wants, let Him begin working in us. It'll be a whole new thing, but it'll be a world of difference. It won't be the quick, easy pop pill, but the quick, easy pop pills don't produce the results. This will produce results you've been waiting for. Because we all do not live in the Spirit, we must minister God to one another. See, we have got to minister God to one another. We're not all in the Spirit all the time. Therefore, I need to minister God to you, and you need to minister to Him, and He needs to minister to Him, and we need to minister God to one another. Whenever you're up, whenever you're in the Spirit, you need to minister. Whenever you can come and pray for somebody else, we can't always lay hands on ourselves for healing, and we can't always pull ourselves up. We need somebody else. We need to let minister God to one another. Be sure you're doing that. Now this is body ministry. This is body ministry. Body ministry is not just what you do in the sanctuary. Body ministry is not just testimonies, songs. It's ministering to others in the body, whether you're in the sanctuary or outside of the sanctuary. We need to be ministering God to one another a lot more, continually, in a real way, in every area possible. I mean, this is a big thing. And when that really gets understood, we'll become a 2,600-link chain that cannot easily be broken. Now, our intellect can be persuaded by somebody else's intellect. But God can only be imparted through the Spirit. You can sit down and talk to somebody intellectually and you can persuade him intellectually. But God can only be imparted through the Spirit. The Spirit is the straw. Now be careful to try the Spirit before sticking your straw in. And I'll be speaking more about that. I think our good brother Win Wally has made a mistake in doing too much dialogue with demons, and I think he's accepted too much what everybody else has been getting from him. And I think they made some mistakes, because I can see where the devil is tricking him, because the devil's saying all these things, and they're doing so much dialoguing, and it's hard to know what's right and what isn't. And I can see they're wily. I mean, they're clever. And you think, boy, they're admitting all kinds of things. And they're saying, yeah, see? They're so proud. I'm going to just keep admitting more and more things, building their pride and their ego for a fall. Oh, you really got us on the run. All you're doing is hurting us all the time. Oh, you strong people, you are so clever. Oh, how did you know I was there? Oh, you just always are so, you know, you're always chasing us around the block. We're just having to give up all the time. We have no fun anymore with anybody because, oh, see, that's so easy for people to say, oh, boy, we really got, see, they're admitting like crazy. But why are they admitting? Is some of it maybe a trick to get you overconfident and not realizing what else is there and get your pride built? You see, they're clever fools, my friend. And that's exactly what's happened to them, I am sure. They're still effective, but gotta be careful. And I've watched each book, and each book's gone farther like this. And see, I am responsible for this church. And all I can say is whether I'm 100% right in the balance point or not. And I may have to move the balance point as I see it. But you have to operate as the pastor does. We have to let God show us. We have to be careful and we have to move together. And we'll do that, God giving us the will. I mean, giving us His grace. Now, oh boy. Let me show what to do right now. I'll make one more statement and I'll close for the night. I can't preach the rest of my message. It's longer than the time I've got. We are all familiar with the scripture that doesn't work in us. Are we not? You know the scripture doesn't work in you? You know what I'm talking about? How many know what I'm talking about? Well, a lot of you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, haven't you applied scripture to you and it doesn't work? Haven't you taken it and it doesn't work? Aren't you familiar with scripture that doesn't work? Whatever you ask, my name, it shall be done. Faith believing and all these other truths that are right there, and then it, doesn't seem to work. We're all familiar with these scriptures that don't seem to work in us. And we're all familiar with scriptures that don't seem to excite us. We read, and it didn't seem to be exciting to us at times. Great portion of it, I mean, we'll have to admit that. But we're also all familiar with scripture that does excite us and work in us, right? And it's not because some is more exciting than others, and some work and some doesn't work. It's just that we haven't made it all to work in us. To work. It'll all work. But we've stuck a straw in and sucked hard at certain places at certain times. When we're really in trouble, all of a sudden that scripture begins to work for you. When you're in real trouble and you really cry out and pray to God and you really put yourself in the altar, all of a sudden spiritual truth comes and you see God in action. I'm going to quit right there. I have a number of other things moving into a different, some other things, but I'm sorry I can't bring it all tonight. But we're on the road. Praise the Lord. I feel good about that. And I would like to say one more thing. If you're having trouble in any way with these messages, with the services, with what's happening, or anything, let me plead with you, just hold steady. Just hold steady. Keep praying. Keep trying to defeat the devil the best you can. Do what you can. Worship like you can. Pray as you can. Open your mind as you can and keep asking God to help you and keep rebuking the devil and doing what you can. That is very important. Because at this particular juncture, the devil will try to get you. He will try to panic you to get out. He'll try to pressure you. He'll make little things seem big. Let me just say this in closing. Even the business about, well, demons and Christians, so forth. I'm going to be bringing some more things about that might be persuadable, make you persuadable. But listen, for one thing, remember this. If you don't believe that, you've got to believe that they're at least coming after you. You've got to believe they're tempting you. You've got to believe they're resisting you. And so what do? You've got to resist them back. You've got to rebuke them. Rebuke the devil and he'll flee from you. And so you'll start rebuking demons. Rebuke those things in your life. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, take stand. You've got to do that. And whether you're rebuking him when he's out here, or whether you're rebuking him when he's in here, isn't a salient point. The point is you've got to make that stand. One more point. See, but I don't believe all this. Well, listen, just a minute. The minister, the deliverance leader, he doesn't ask the person to do anything. All he does is rebuke a spirit of pride. He never asks the person to scream. He never asks the person to say, my name is Phil, I came in when he was 9 years old. He never asks the person to say, I've been in thousands of bodies. I was at the cross when Christ had died. He never asked the person to say those things. Don't blame him. All he did was say, you evil spirit of unbelief, come out and leave that, come out of that man. We can't come out if he's not there. Can't talk to him if he's not in there. He never asked him to talk to him. All he did is rebuke the devil. You can't blame us for what the devil's doing. If he talks out of people, don't blame the worker. He didn't talk out of him. He wasn't a ventriloquist. Some people are kind of confused. They're blaming the worker for what the devil's doing. And you've got no explanation for all those things. No reasonable explanation. All we're doing is the same thing you're doing, rebuking the devil. Except when you get pressing them hard on people, they start talking back at you, resisting. We don't want them to resist, we want them to come out. We want them to leave. We don't care if they're in or not in. We just as long as they go and leave them alone. But if they're answering from within, how are we supposed to believe? Not there? Some people are not thinking clearly. I have a scripture I'm going to be bringing you later that I think the church has been misinterpreting the whole history of the Christianity. Dealing with deliverance. I think we've been looking at this thing wrong and not knowing it was there all the time. I'll be bringing that to you next weekend. God bless you.